So, Peter, when you wrapped up the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, did you ever think at the back of your head that potentially you'd be stepping right back into Middle-earth in the future?
Not really. I was uncertain because The Hobbit was always a difficult film to get off the ground because it was co-owned by two studios, Warner's and MGM. And it needed those two studios to sit in a room and actually work out some kind of a deal between them to how they could share the rights. So that was always uncertain. It was never really knew if it would happen and if it was going to happen, whether it would be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
And once you got the go-ahead and was you behind the lens, obviously you had to cast Bilbo. Martin was your number one choice the whole time, wasn't
it? The only choice, absolutely. Yeah. We didn't actually even meet Martin before we decided that he was the guy we wanted because we were familiar with him from films and TV that he's done. And he somehow seemed to capture the very essence of that fussy, kind of ultra-conservative, slightly repressed hobbit that Tolkien had described in the books. And we knew it could be a very funny character, and so we wanted an actor who could have dramatic skill and comedic skill at the same time. Which is very rare, actually.
I'm not sure Martin was he happy being described as fussy and.
You'll have to ask him. I don't know. I'm not sure if he will be very happy at all. Actually, he might be very angry.
The comedic tone though, of this film is a lot more light, isn't it, than what we've come to expect from this world so far? And is it very important to you to get that balance with the actors who can do both? Because it's going to get darker, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's, you know, the novel is more of a children's story than The Lord of the Rings. But I wanted to have a foot in each door. I wanted to be able to be the same filmmaker coming back to Middle Earth again who'd made The Lord of the Rings and to tell a story that has a certain unity to it. But at the same time, we're not dealing with that apocalyptic kind of dark end of world story that we did with The Lord of the Rings. This is a lighter story with certainly more comedic characters in it. So that was one of the joys. But hopefully when people see all six movies, you know, in a row, as I hope you will one day, 24-hour marathon experience, that there'll be a kind of, there'll be a, you know, a feeling like of a story that's just growing and expanding. And this is the calm before the storm, The Hobbit, really.
If I were to sit down for 24 hours and watch all six in the future, which of course I will, one of the things I will notice that's different is that Lord of the Rings trilogy wasn't filmed in 48 frames
right,
per second.
Right, yeah.
Suddenly we're all technical experts. Some of us are up in arms about this. So what do you say to the people who say, I don't like it?
Well, you can't say anything because it's like arguing with somebody if they like red or blue and what's your favourite colour and, you know, you're wrong and this is the reason why you should like blue. I mean, you can't argue. I mean, I'm very interested in what people's reaction is, obviously, because I'm curious. But, you know, there's one group of people who are trying to defend the look of film. And those people will never be satisfied, you know, and I'm sure they probably still collect vinyl LPs too to listen to their music, but there is a younger generation which this film is made for who don't care what cinema is supposed to look like. They just know The Hobbit looks different, it's dynamic, it's immersive. So those are the people who's ultimately going to decide as to how successful or not this new format is.
It's one of those things you get used to, isn't it? I mean, do you see it being the standard in 5-6 years' time?
The standard maybe for certain types of films. I mean, the thing that you have to realise is that it's not a situation where it's like a crossroads where the entire industry has to jump one way or the other, 24 or 48. That actually isn't going to ever have to happen because the projectors that can run at 48 can always project 24. And I'm sure, you know, there'll be filmmakers, there'll be directors that are going to want to stay with 24 just because that's what they want to do. And yet now at least we've established this, the choice is there, and I think there'll be certain types of movies that will absolutely benefit from 48. I mean, you know, if I'm looking at action films, I'm looking at a lot of sort of spectacular tentpole type films. I just notice the strobing, the 24 frames, the blurring. Having had 48 frames for over a year and a half now, I'm totally flipped the other way now because 24 looks strange to me. It looks primitive and crude.
And just finally, I know you're editing the second already. When did you get it in your head that this was going to go from two to a trilogy?
Relatively recently, it was towards the end of our shoot, maybe about 6 months ago, where it was really not about what we'd shot, it was about what we hadn't shot. And Philippa and Fran and I talked about, you know, the opportunity was there to use more of Tolkien's material from the appendix of the Return of the King, and that if we could approach the studio and ask them, suggested to them that we did three movies, but it would involve another, you know, 3 months of shooting, which we're going to be doing next year, that we could go to three films. And it was really a case of the fact that this was our last chance. I mean, we're unlikely to ever come back to Middle Earth again as filmmakers. And it was either, you know, put your hand up now or forever be quiet. So I'm glad that we've stuck our hand up and it's become three movies.